to see Brother Brian here for the holidays. Always good to see him come and be with us here. This morning, Brother Rico Edwards read scriptures from Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I want to reread a portion of that that he shared with us this morning, starting at verse number 4. As we begin our words of exhortation, encouragement, and instruction this morning. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I don't know how you view these verses in your Bible, but to me, these verses are some of the sweetest words in all the Bible. They reveal unto us that because of Christ's coming into the world and doing the Father's will, we now have the opportunity to become the adopted sons of God. And because of our sonship, we become heirs of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be a son of God. I'm reminded of what John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Behold, what manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, this morning, we are blessed beyond measure by our Lord's coming into the world to redeem us from our sins. But I believe to really appreciate his coming, perhaps we need to look at it from the standpoint of what if he had not come? What if he had not come into the world? When we look at it from that standpoint, and we would consider what a terrible and an awful condition and predicament we would be in if he had not come, I believe perhaps it would make us love him even more and make us want to do all within our power to please him in the things that we do. And so I want to encourage us then this morning from the subject or the topic, what if Christ had not come? Have you ever thought about that? What if Christ had not come? I want to talk to you very briefly this morning. Four things that we want to consider. There are some others that we could include, but four things that we want to consider about what if Christ had not come. What an awful shape, again, we would be in. What a terrible condition we would be in if he had not come. Brother James mentioned a couple of the things that I want to talk about in his prayer this morning. And I hope you'll be able, when I get say this, you'll be able to say, yes, he did say that. One of the things that he mentioned in his prayer this morning was hope. If Jesus Christ had not come, do you not know we would have no hope? it's a terrible thing to have no hope. No hope for today, no hope for tomorrow, no hope for the future, no hope for even eternity. If Jesus had not come, we would have no hope. You know, we live in a world where so many people go through the world, even though Christ has come, but they still do not have hope. They live a hopeless life because they have not realized actually the condition that they are in, opposed to what they could be in if they will just put their trust and their faith and their confidence in Jesus Christ. And they'll be able to look beyond their present condition, even though it may be dark, even though it may be bleak. But if they could just put their trust in Jesus, we're going to sing about trust and obey at the end of the sermon. If they would just put their trust and their confidence in Jesus, they could realize the hope that they would have to look toward a better day to come. All of this is possible because Jesus came. If he had not come, we would have no hope. You know, when Paul wrote to Titus, Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, Paul said to Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Paul wanted Titus to remind those Christians that he was working with there on the island of Crete that you got hope. You got hope. You got hope of eternal life because God cannot lie, and God promised you that you would have hope. And that hope comes through Jesus Christ. All our hope lies in Jesus Christ. Without him, there is no hope. You know what Paul said to the Ephesian Christians? In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 11, Paul said this. He says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul wanted these Ephesian Christians to realize where they had come from. They had come from a condition of having no hope, and now they are in a condition where they have hope. That's why I say we need to look at it from the standpoint, what if he hadn't come? Help us, hopefully, to love him more, to serve him more, and thereby pleasing him more and more in our lives. So, if Christ had not come, we would have no hope. But because of him, we now can have hope. And you know the only reason we can have hope is because God adopted us. He adopted us. That's what we read about in the scripture that Rico read as you were reading along with him. And as I reread a portion of it as I began this morning, we were adopted. Listen to it again, what the Bible says in verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, what? The adoption of sons. We would have never been adopted into God's family if Christ had not come. Thank you, Lord, for coming to this world. And because he did come, then, we have the opportunity to be God's adopted son. And I want to say to us this morning, there's nothing wrong with being an adopted son. In the world, sometimes people look at, from the physical standpoint, people that are adopted, they look at them differently from the real blood children. But it's a great thing to be God's adopted child. I'm thankful that I'm God's adopted child. And because I'm his adopted child, I can cry to him then, Abba, Father. I can say, Father, Father. And I could go on and say, thank you for adopting me. You did that because you sent your son. He came into this world And he bled for my sins. He bled for your sins. And when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, he adopted us into his family. But that never would have happened if Christ had not come. And now, since I'm an adopted son, you know what? I can share in the heirship, in the inheritance. So the scripture goes on and says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then and what? Heir of God through Jesus Christ. That means I can inherit something. I'm a joint heir, the Bible says in another place, with Jesus Christ. It's good to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. But it never would have happened if Christ had not come. Christ is our hope. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. So when Christ is in us and when we are in Christ, then he is the hope of glory. But without him, there would be no hope. Thank God this morning for hope. Romans 15, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through what? Patient. And what else? Comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Why do the scriptures give us so much hope? Because the scriptures point to Christ. The scriptures point to Christ. So they give us hope. Thank God for the scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures pointed to Christ. Genesis 3 and verse 15 pointed to Christ. Genesis 49 and 10 pointed to Christ. Luke 24, 44 through 47, Jesus, when he was talking to his apostles, he said, the scriptures pointed to me. Look at what he says in Luke 24, verse 44 through 47. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, what? Concerning me. What are you saying, Christ? The scriptures talked about me. So no wonder then Paul would be inspired to write to the Corinthian Christians, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The scriptures talked about Christ. He is our hope. But without him, there would be no hope. There would be no hope. That's the words of a song that I love, and perhaps you know it, without him. The song says, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Can't you see the hopelessness without Christ? Oh, without Christ, we would be nothing. Without him, I would be dying. Without him, I'd be enslaved. Without him, life would be worthless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Thank you, Darryl, for coming up this morning, leading the first song, Thank You, Lord. That's something to be thankful for, that we are saved individuals. And if you're not a saved individual, you need to become saved by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ so that you can truly thank God for your salvation. Because without him, you're going to fail. Without him, I'm going to fail. Thank God for hope. The chorus of the song says, oh, Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. How lost we would be this morning without Jesus. So if Christ had not come, we would have no hope. The second thing that James mentioned in his prayer this morning was peace. Without Christ, if he had not come, we would have no true peace. Or we might could sign some treaties. We might could say, well, if I get along with you, as long as you get up, excuse me, get along with me. But without him, we couldn't have any true peace, because he is the only one that can give us true peace. It's only found in him. Again, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse number 13, Paul said this to the church. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is what? Our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partitions between us. Why is he peace? Because one of his descriptions is peace. Look at what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9. It was prophesied years before he was born in the flesh, that is. Isaiah 9, verse 6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isn't it wonderful to know that in Christ we can have true peace? And the peace that we have in Christ is not like the peace we have in this world. Oh, the world can give us some degree of peace, but not like Christ. So when he said to his apostles before he left them to go back to the world, go back to heaven, to his home in heaven, he said this to them, knowing, I'm sure, that they were so worried that he was going to leave them. They would be afraid. They would wonder what they're going to do. But you know what he said? John 14 and verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. That means, again, that the world can give us some degree of peace, but not like Christ. He said, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, I think what Christ was saying there is that, John, even though you are sitting in the middle of all kinds of confusion, all kinds of corruptions, all kinds of calamity, you don't have to truly be afraid, because I can give you some peace, that you can be calm when everything around you is all falling apart. But you know the reason why many people fall apart? Number one, because they don't truly have the hope. And number two, they don't truly have the peace that Jesus can give them. And that peace, again, can only come by our rendering obedience to his will. And when we render obedience to his will, he'll come into our lives and he'll give us that peace and that serenity and that calm and that comfort that we need. Oh, yes, we don't like to see everything in all uproar, but we can still be at peace because we're at peace with him, we're at peace with God. And when you're at peace with God, that's all that matters. Paul said it like this to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. He said, therefore, being justified, how? By faith. That's where it all boils down to, our faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. He is our peace. He gives us the peace, not like the world gives, so we don't have to be afraid. We can hang in there when the times are tough, when the times are rough. When we don't know, as Brother James said in his prayer, what the future holds, we know who holds the future. Why? Because Christ came to this world to give us peace, to give us hope. Thank God for the peace that we can have in Christ Jesus. And you know, we need peace with God. We can have peace with everybody else, but if we don't have peace with God, we are in trouble. We're in big trouble. We need peace with God. You know why? Because at one time we were his enemy. You know, enemies, they're not at peace. But when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, or when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'll be at peace with God. We needed to be reconciled, didn't we? That only happened through Jesus Christ. He gave us that peace with God that we could come back to God on a peaceful term. No longer did we have to be an enemy of God. So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, bringing the world back to him, giving the world the opportunity to come back to him, to have peace with him. But how does it happen? Through faith. Justified through faith, we have peace with God. Thank God for the peace that we have in Christ Jesus. And when we have the peace of God, when we do his will, he'll be with us. He will be with us. Listen to what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 through 9. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he goes on and he says, and the what? Peace of God, which passes all understanding. People don't understand how you can still be happy, even though the worst thing that you can imagine has happened to you. They don't understand that. That's what he's talking about. The peace which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Next verse says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True, whatsoever things are what? Honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. And then he goes on and says what? Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And as a result of that, the next verse says, those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know why that's possible? Because Christ came. If Christ had not come, that would not have been possible. Thank God for the coming of Christ. So if Christ had not come, we'd have no hope. If Christ had not come, we'd have no peace. But you know something else that we need to think about? If Christ had not come, we would have no mediator. And we need a mediator. Why? Because we can't get to God by ourselves. We need somebody between us and God to get to God. And Christ is that mediator. He is the, quote, if I can put it this way, he's the middleman. There's no way we can get to God except going through Christ. But if he had not come, that would not have been possible. We'd have still been on the outside looking in, having no hope of ever getting in. But because Christ came, he now is our mediator. We need a mediator because of our sins. You see, our sins separated us from God. That was the purpose of the Old Testament priest, to be a mediator for the people, to offer the sacrifices for the people. Christ gave it and offered himself, and now he's our mediator. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And who is it? That man, or the man, Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. We need Christ in order to get to God. Without him, we couldn't get there. And I'm thankful that he stands between me and God, aren't you? And I'm thankful that he ever liveth, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, he ever liveth to make intercessions for those that come to God through him. Thank you, Lord, for being a mediator for me. But if you hadn't come, I wouldn't have no mediator, no way of getting to God. That's why the Bible says, as Jesus says again in John chapter 14, as he was seeking to calm the anxiety of his apostles before he left them to go back to heaven, he would say in John 14 and verse 6, and we know it so well, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to God without me. The only way that we're going to get to God is by Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's our mediator. That's why when we pray, we got to pray by his authority in his name. We can't pray directly to God. Jesus is our mediator. It's just like the people in the Old Testament again. They couldn't directly walk in and offer their sacrifices. They had to take it through a priest who mediated for them. So we can't pray directly to God. We got to go through Jesus Christ. But if he had not come, we'd have no mediator. Thank God for the mediation that Jesus provides for us. And then lastly this morning, if Jesus Christ had not come, we'd have no way to get to heaven. Do you know what that way to get to heaven is? It's through the church. If he had not come, we would have no church. We'd have no way to get to heaven. And all of us want to go to heaven, don't we? The only way you can get to heaven is through the church. You know, remind me, when I said that, Brother Dennis, all of you want to get to heaven? I probably was told this before. But the man was preaching one time and says, how many here want to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand except one man. So he preached on a little while longer and said that again. Everybody in here want to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand but that one man. He began to think, wonder why this man doesn't raise his hand. So he preached a little longer and said, everybody want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. And everybody's hand goes up but this one man. So he finally decided to call him out. He said, I noticed that for three times I've asked everybody that want to go to heaven to raise their hand. Why didn't you raise your hand? Don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yes, but I thought you was trying to get a load for right now. I hope all of us, if it was right now, I hope all of us would be ready and be wanting to go right now. But that's the only way to get to heaven is through the church. You know what the Bible says according to Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 17? Jacob was having this dream here, and he saw this ladder stretched from heaven, angels going up, angels coming down, and he awaked out of his dream, the Bible says, and he says, this is a dreadful place. Then he says, this is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. Well, that didn't mean too much to us when we read that particular passage. But when you continue to read in the Bible and you get to the New Testament, you find out in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 that the house of God is the church. So back there in Genesis, he was seeing the church. He says, the house of God, which is the gate to heaven. The church is the gateway to heaven. And we know what a gateway serves. It serves the purpose of entering into. So in other words, if we want to go to heaven, we got to go through the church. But if Jesus had not come, we would have no church. Thank God for sending Jesus. Thank Jesus for coming. He provides the means of getting us to heaven. That's God's plan of getting everybody to heaven is through the church. He said to the church at Ephesus again in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, we started off with the scripture that talks about the fullness of time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law. So he says now that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are where? In heaven and which are on earth. Even in him. That's God's plan to get everybody together in Christ, in one, so that he could bring everybody home to heaven. Thank God for Jesus' coming. So when he died on the cross, he established that church by shedding his blood, precious blood. And the church was established on the day of Pentecost. Ever since then, God's been adding folks to the church. But again, go back again to the scripture that I just talked about in Ephesians chapter 1. He says he want to gather everybody together in one, both in heaven and on earth. So God wants everybody to be together in heaven and on earth, which means there are some folks already in heaven. They got to be gathered together in Christ. So when Paul was praying that prayer to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 15. Notice what he said, verse number 14, first of all. What does he say? He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, where? In heaven and earth, is named. What did he say in Ephesians 1, verse 10? He's going to gather all things together. Everybody that's in heaven and everybody down this earth. He's going to get them together in one, in Christ. How does that happen? In the body of Christ. So we got, at least, we got a brother in heaven already by the name of Enoch. We got another brother by the name of Elijah already there. They are going to be gathered together in Christ. That's God's plan of getting everybody together in Christ Jesus. But if he hadn't come, that wouldn't have been possible. So he came again to establish his church. The church was prophesied, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, Zechariah 1, verse 16. It was prophesied. It was called a house then. But again, the house is the church. And the church is the gateway to heaven. Everybody there ought to want to be a member of the church that Jesus came to establish. And he came to establish just one. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Everybody ought to want to be a member of that one church. Why? Because that's God's plan for everybody to be in that same body in order to come to heaven. Ephesians 3 and verse 6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. God's plan is to get everybody together in one body, one church, and bring them to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven then? Are you a member of that one church? I hope and trust that you want to be a member of that one church, and not just a member, but a faithful member of that one church. Because the Bible says we've got to be faithful unto death. And then he says, I'll give you a crown of life. Well, what's so important then about the church? One day it's going to be given back to God. And if you want to again see God's face in peace, and I believe James even mentioned that in his prayer this morning, wanting to see God's face in peace. The only way we're going to ever see God's face in peace is to be a faithful member of his church. Because one day it's going to be given back to him. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. Before we look at that, Matthew 16, 18, and 19 talks about the church, and it calls the church the kingdom in those passages. Now, Paul says here, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the what? Kingdom, the church, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. You know who got all rule now? Jesus Christ. You know who got all power now? Jesus Christ. You know who got all authority now? Jesus Christ. But when the end comes, the Bible says he's going to put that down and he's going to give the kingdom back to God. So if we want to see God's face in peace, we got to be in the kingdom, doing his will, being faithful. Otherwise, we're not going to see his face in peace. And if we don't see his face in peace, it's going to be our fault. It won't be God's fault, because Christ came to bring us peace, because he says he is our peace. And we can have peace with God through him. But it's got to come back to our faith. Again, it's come back to what we're going to sing about in just a moment. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. The song says there is no other way. There's no other way for us to get to heaven other than trusting and obeying God. That entails being a member of his body, doing his will, and getting to heaven. So as I close this morning then, each and every day of our lives, we ought to give God thanks and praise for sending Jesus into the world. For without him, we'd have no hope, we'd have no peace, we'd have no mediator. We have no way to get to heaven, which is through the church. Thank God for sending Jesus. No wonder Paul, as he recognized the awful condition that he was in, as he was struggling with his sin problem. In Romans chapter 7, verse number 24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" But he says, "I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But what if he hadn't come? Paul never would have been able. He'd have still been in that wretched condition. He'd still had a sin problem. We would still be in a deplorable condition, in a wretched condition. But because in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us. Thank God for the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. If you're here then this morning, and you're outside of Christ, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're not doing his will, thank God for your being here so that I can encourage you to become a member of his body and do his will. You do that by hearing and believing the gospel, repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, being baptized in water for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. You come from that water of agreeable baptism and you live faithfully unto death. That's why again I says, early on I says, just don't be a member of the church, but be a faithful member. Got to be faithful unto death. So if you're outside of Christ and you need to come to Christ this morning, would you come? If you're inside of Christ in the church, but somehow you're one contrary to the will of God, turn away from whatever it is. And if you need to make a confession, do that this morning so that you can get back in fellowship with the Lord. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is this morning, why not come? Come right now while we stand and while we sing.
In the light of his word, what a glory he shows.